with Mom, and she's going to recall some childhood memories.
I can remember things at home too before I met Dolly. When I was still living at home, I can the things, you know, especially things about my dad.
How about when you wanted to go to school and you weren't old enough?
Oh, that was real early in my life.
How old were you?
I was 5 years old. I was 5 in fall, and I would have been 6 in February. But I bugged my mother, you know, to let me go to school too. I envied my brother Ed and my sister Josie. I envied them the ride in the buggy to school. Mrs. Martin was our teacher, Enola Martin, my first teacher. She would drive from their home northeast of us and stop. Drive through our place and stop to pick up Eddie and Joseph. And I said to ask my mother one day, I said, why can't I go to school? Those kids have it all. Riding to school with a horse and buggy. Said, I don't know. That must be a thrill, you know, to ride, you know, with a horse, in a horse and buggy. So she said, we'll ask Mrs. Martin. So Mrs. Martin stopped, you know, once in a while for coffee, and my mother said to her, so what about this kid would like to go to school? She would like to ride in your buggy. So Mrs. Martin said, well, she said, when is her birthday? And my mother said how many months it was away. And she said, well, I tell you, let her come, you know. I can't put her in a class. She's not, we didn't have kindergarten then. I'll give her things to do. I'll keep her busy. Let her come, you know. You don't have to send her every day, but I shouldn't get her buggy ride that way. So I went to school with her, and boy, it was just a thrill. I didn't have to study, and I didn't have to recite. She put a stool up by her desk, and I sat there making daisy chains and, you know, looking at colored books. And I said, that's all, and I just loved being there, watching the other kids. And
that's how you got to be such a good speller, I bet.
Well, maybe so. Maybe that had something to do with it, because, well, I went, that wasn't too long. It was just from fall until spring.
Okay.
Then I could start school after I was 6.
Where did you live at that time?
We lived on the Pettit farm. I was born on that farm.
And by Hector?
And I lived there.
By Hector? Was that by Hector?
In Osceola, 7 miles northwest of Hector.
Okay.
In Osceola Township.
Okay.
Lived there for 18 years before my dad. My dad rented that farm that long. Mm-hmm. And when they, I was through school before that time. I was through school by the time, well, we had to go a little bit longer than they do now. I think I was maybe 15 or maybe closer to 16 when I was through the 8th grade.
Uh-huh. And your dad's name was?
Alfred.
No, your dad's name.
My dad's name was William.
William. Okay. William. What was his middle name? You know? William.
William. William. Oh, I don't know. Was it Albert? You know.
Okay. And your mother's name was?
Barbara.
Okay.
Barbara Fremkin.
Okay. That's the joke about the Fremkin mouth, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, see, my mother come from a big family, too. And,
okay.
And I had a brother, Henry Fremkin. He was quite a talker. Mm-hmm. So I suppose maybe we're likely got it from our mother. You know.
Okay, you want to just list the children in your family, your brothers and sisters? Who was the oldest one?
Edward was the oldest.
You know when he was born or not?
He was born the 26th of December.
In what year, do you know?
Let's see. I'd have to go... I was born 1901. Joseph was born 2 years early. 1889.
Same
as... Dad?
No.
Yeah, but Dad was older.
Yeah. No. Okay, and then so he
was born 1901 and she was born...
1889.
Yeah, that must be right.
And then Ed must have been born 2 years before that?
Yeah,
in 87? Mm-hmm. Okay, and he lived in St. Paul?
Yes.
When he was older?
Yeah, when he left home, I think when he left home after he, you know, got out of school, I just can't remember what year he left, but he went out of the city and worked for that packing plant.
Okay, and he was married?
It wasn't Farmers, it was, what was the other one? Ritua.
Okay, I can't remember.
It was one of the packing plants.
Yeah.
He started to work there, and he kept that job there for, I think, all the while he worked in the city.
And what was his wife's name?
Tekla.
Tekla.
Tekla Lundstrom.
And they didn't have any children, right?
Ed and Tekla, no.
Okay.
No children.
And he's the one who died of cancer. He had cancer in his jaw, right? And
yes.
Died?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then
he got that from pipe smoking.
Mm-hmm.
He got a sore mouth, you know, from holding the pipe mm-hmm. in his mouth.
Okay, and then the next one was?
I was the third.
Well, who was the second?
Josie was the second.
Okay, and she was married to?
Wolfgang Baumann.
Wolfgang Baumann. Okay, and how many children did they have?
They had 10 also.
Okay, and where did they live, Mom?
They lived, at that time, when they were raising their family, they lived on a farm close to Bird Island.
Okay.
I don't know when they moved off of that farm to see they lived. The last time they moved, they were neighbors to us across the road in the woods.
Mm-hmm. Can we remember
their... close to us, less than a mile apart.
Okay. Can we remember their kids' names? Who was the oldest one there?
The oldest one was Norbert.
Norbert.
And then Eileen.
Eileen.
Yeah. And then Greg.
No. Greg was younger.
Greg.
Okay.
Not Greg.
So Norbert, Eileen... Bob or Jean, I think.
There was another one closer to Aunt Jules. No, Greg was there the last.
Yeah.
The end. See, now I forgot.
Well, that's, what's...
Jean. And
then Bob?
Bob.
And?
I have to wait to see where
Lois.
When the girls come.
Lois.
In. Lois.
And Vera.
Vera was younger.
So. Okay. Dorothy. She was my age.
Yeah.
Okay. Greg. And their youngest one? Richard. He was the one who was killed in a hunting accident, right?
Oh, that was the real young, very yeah. youngest.
But we're missing one.
That was Dick Hickey.
Yeah, we're missing one.
So nine, that's nine.
Okay.
Jimmy,
you got it. You remember Jimmy.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Okay.
I could just see him. When he heard his tone, I think they go down the alphabet,
uh-huh.
so I get to one that, then I get it.
And Aunt Jose died from cancer, right?
1965.
Okay.
I'm sure that's the date, because Raleigh died before she, no, she died first.
And,
she must have died in 64, Raleigh died in 65.
Okay, and then
she died before
Wolfgang,
did.
When he couldn't stay alone, he stayed with Eileen in
yes,
Bird Island, right?
Yes, she died.
Okay. Okay, and then you were next, right?
Yeah.
And what year were you born?
I was born in 1901.
Okay. And the next one is?
George.
Okay.
Then Bill.
And then Bill.
Then Helen. Then Catherine. Then Mady. Then Marion. Then Jim. Then Dottie and Dolores.
Okay, so there were 10 in the family.
Yeah.
Okay, and how many are still living?
In my family?
Yes.
There are still 7 of us girls and 3 boys. No, let's see.
No.
There were 12 of us.
Okay.
There's 2 gone.
Okay.
There were 10 of us.
Oh, you did forget the little baby after you had a sister, right?
Oh, yeah.
Betty.
Right. That's
right.
That
she died when she was how old? Young, right?
Oh, yeah, pretty young. 4 months or...
Okay.
See, my mother baptized her.
Uh-huh.
And then when she was baptized by the priest, Ollie and I stood up for her. We were sponsors.
Okay.
And she was, I would say, they've got it even, when it's out in the cemetery, it's right.
Mm-hmm. Now, I remember Grandpa and Grandma living in town, right close to the highway. They had a house, and they always had delicious strawberries.
Mm-hmm. They raised strawberries and sold them.
Okay, and what else did they raise?
The raspberries.
Okay.
And maybe beans. They had a big garden.
Okay. And you said that your dad, they always went to St. John's Catholic Church, right?
Yeah.
From the time they were married?
Married there, yes. Married there, were buried from there. And, mm-hmm. and all the kids were baptized. Some of us were baptized in Stuart. That happened when, I guess we didn't have a station priest for a while. That's why they had to take some of the kids to Stuart. See, that's where I had to go for my birth certificate.
Okay.
And that's where it was.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how many were, they had to, you know, take them to a different parish for baptism.
Oh, I remember it was always a treat to go there, and we could never wear shorts because Grandma didn't like shorts.
You know, when they'd say we're going to Grandpa's and Grandma, and I would say, oh, you girls, you know, you can't wear shorts. They'd change. No, Grandma doesn't like it. We won't wear them. So.
Okay, now let's go back to when you said at the beginning that you could remember things about your dad. You told me once about how he sang so much, and tell me the story about how when he went to town and how you would know he was coming home.
That's the one thing I can remember about my dad. He would take in a load of grain, feed, to have ground up for feed, and also take the wheat in to the mill and have it made into flour. Then it'd get to be, you know, that was a long day. He had to wait for that, for the feed and also the flour. Then my mother would, we would be playing outside, my mother would say, you kids listen, when you hear Grandpa coming, say, you let me know and I'll put the potatoes on. So we'd be outside, and pretty soon we could hear that he was be singing, and the wheels on the road, we could hear the clank, the clank, and then he'd sing his, oh, Nellie Gray, or Clementine, or, oh, there's more songs he would sing. And then we had a black shepherd dog, Carlo. We all stepped under the porch, and when he'd hear Grandpa singing, he would take off and he'd run down to the mailbox, which was maybe half a mile from home. And then he'd jump on the wagon. That's what I remember, you know, the most about my dad.
You said once he sang in church long before Catholics sang in church.
Yes, he would sing, you know, with the choir. He loved to sing.
Was he in the choir or did he sing?
No, he just sang in his own seat.
Okay, did you say of you were embarrassed or Grandma was embarrassed about that
so.
Or not? Oh.
He would say, you know, I don't think anybody minds if I sing with the choir. And so he loved those old songs like, Mother Dearest, Mother Fairest. Remember how we used to sing those all the time? And, they were all... At times of course, the mass prayers, you know, then he wouldn't say anything.
Right.
It was the hymns that he loved.
Yeah.
And he would sing those.
Tell me, did you ever get a licking or a spanking from him?
Oh, yeah. He was, you know, we got more harder lickings from my dad, but I never held that against him. I thought, whatever I got, I deserved. So I remember one time, I shouldn't say that on there, what happened.
Sure you should.
Anyway, he had been gone, and he came home, and the dishes weren't washed. And he didn't like it. He liked to have dishes done in time. So he came home, and he said, whose turn is it to do the dishes? And we took turns. And my mother said, it was my turn. And boy, he walloped me. He hit me so hard. On my seat. He didn't hit me on the head. He walloped on my seat. I was so shook up, I wet my pants. And we had a cupboard, you know, on that north wall. And it was about a corner, maybe 3 feet, you know, from the wall. I crawled in that corner. There I went in the fence. I was really shook up.
I bet you did the dishes when it was your turn.
Oh, you bet. That helped. And I thought to myself, some people said, oh, and you know, I like to forget that part of my life. But I said, I thought, I must have had it coming. Otherwise, he wouldn't have, you know. But he was, that was one thing that he kept. Auntie, and it went along with my mother, that we do the things that we're supposed to do on time. Didn't like that putting off.
How? Tell me how you learned to play the harmonica. Oh. You told me that story once.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, when he had just a small harmonica, and he kept it up on the clock shelf, just out in the open, and he said, now, you kids leave my mouth organ alone. He said, I don't want you to be playing it. You'll get it wet in there, and it'll wear out. So he said, I don't want your kids to touch that. So I told my mother one day, I said, gee, I wish I could, you know, just sneak that and play it. She said, you know what Pa said. So I would take it anyway. And I thought, gee, that he could play that Home Sweet Home, and it sounded like so easy. So I would take it once in a while.
Would they be home or would they be gone?
He'd be gone. My mother would be home.
Oh, okay.
And he'd be maybe out in the field. I don't know. I forgot. But anyway, I sneaked it often enough so I could get to play it. So that's how I learned to play it. Then later, you know, I tried other tunes, but that come the easiest.
Uh-huh. Well, so, I'm glad you learned how to play it, even though you did sneak it.
Well, yeah. And then I guess my mother never told, you know, that I was playing it, and he never found out. Never scolded me for it. So.
What do you remember most about your mom, about your mother?
Oh, my mother was a little easier going. You know, we got by with more things, you know, from her. I don't think my mother ever spanked me, unless it was when I was younger. She never spanked me. All the things that I ever heard about me from my aunts, when they'd come out from the city to visit us, they would take turns, you know, come out, like Aunt Connie, she'd come out the most. And then Aunt Connie would come out when my folks had the trashers. My mother needed help, before we were old enough to help. So she's come out and she stayed overnight, and she had brought her son Roman, and Roman was her son, and Vera was Aunt Bert's daughter. But Vera was younger. I must have that mixed up because she just had Roman. So she had a pair of twins, but the girl died and Roman lived. That's all the children she had. But Vera was. It wasn't her daughter. That was
Aunt Gert's
daughter. Aunt Gert's daughter. Yeah, Aunt Gert didn't marry Fred until Aunt Frances died. Aunt Frances died when Vera was a baby. And Gert stepped in and took care of Vera. And then it wasn't a year later, I don't think, she married Uncle Fred. So then they had one son, Greg.
And they live in St. Paul, right?
They live in St. Paul.
Is she still living, Aunt Kirk?
I think so. We haven't heard, Doris told Greg that if anything happened, you know, to Aunt Kirk, she should let us know. He said, I will. That I can do. We haven't heard.
What's her last name?
Aunt Kirk Schaefer.
Schaefer, okay.
Uncle Fred Schaefer, you know, she married. She never, yeah. Otherwise, she wasn't married before. That's the first husband she had.
Did you wear your hair long? Did you have long braids?
Oh, yeah. See, now that I got that family picture, you know, where Amelia was the youngest one. Mm-hmm. So they had a family picture taken. Thinking though, their family, that was their family. Mm-hmm. And then after Amelia, there was Marion, Jim, Donnie, Dolores, four more that are on that picture. Aren't on that picture.
Uh-huh. So your mom had all that braiding to do and everything,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. And all the cooking.
Twelve children.
Mm-hmm.
So she was busy, and she was a good mother. I could never say, I don't think that she ever, you know, gave us a real spanking.
Do you remember when she died? I remember I went to her funeral, but I can't remember the year.
Grandma Taylor? Oh, yeah, she died, I got the obituaries. I kind of have to think a while, you know, to know what month she died in January. January, I think, 60.
Okay.
And what year did she die?
Was she at home or at the university hospital?
She was in the university, and then she's out there from home from the university. And then she had to be taken to a hospital again, and they took her to Olivia. And the one, you couldn't do anything for her in Olivia, they said you might as well put her in a nursing home. That she died in the nursing home.
And she died of cancer, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what kind?
Let's see. Oh, yeah.
Was it...
She didn't know just where it started. They thought it started in her neck because she had pains in her neck. Mm-hmm. That's when it started. And, you know, cancer travels, and it went from one place to another until it hit her lungs. Mm-hmm. So she lived a long time. She suffered.
Didn't you tell me once that she said... She didn't want to die a quick death? Why?
She said, I would rather, how did she say that? I would rather die from cancer than a heart attack. And she said, if you have, you know you have cancer, you know you're going to die, you'll have time to get your house in order.
Oh,
that's where she put it.
Okay.
She didn't mean the house, you know,
right.
Your soul.
And what?
That's why she said she'd rather die from cancer.
And what year did Grandpa die?
Grandma died in 1959. That's, I got the date. 1959, and Grandpa died in 1960, in the spring, in March.
I remember he died in his house. He lived alone.
Oh, yes. There was another soldier, you might say. He said, you know, he just didn't want to be a burden to anybody. He said, I can take care of myself. So after Grandma died, he lived a little over a year, lived all alone.
And you would go over there, right,
oh,
and help him out?
Joseph and Wolfgang would come in every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every morning they'd go in and see how he was.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then when Ollie was home, it could take me in, then we would go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that I was one of the last ones to make him a meal.
I remember whenever you went in, he would have that pipe with that long stem. He always had his pipe and his pipe stand right there.
And he had the chair by the television set, and he had a smoking stand. I can just see it.
I love that smell. I always love that smell of his pipe smoke.
Pipe smoke and cigars. He smoked cigars too, with pipe bore.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember when he was outside doing chores, he smoked that pipe. When he'd have to go in the haymow to feed the cattle and the horses, he put a penny. He light it, then he put a penny on top, so the sparks wouldn't fall off.
Oh, okay.
So he would have a penny that was just black, that he kept on top of the pipe.
Do you remember things about school or with your brothers and sisters, things that stand out?
Oh, yes, a lot of things. Towards the last, I don't remember so much about going with the kids, but I remember when, I can remember I started, you know, before I was six. So I guess I know maybe a little more about starting than the other kids did. And I wanted to go, but George didn't make a fuss. George went willingly. And when Bill started, he was more of a, I don't know what you call him, scoundrel. But he would, you know, he was, let us know, you know, they didn't like it. And he thought he could have his own way. So the day he started school, my mother said, now you hang on to him and don't walk too fast for Bill. Bill was chubby.
You walked to school?
Oh yeah, we walked to school. And the day we started that morning, my dad was out in the field seeding, I guess. He was seeding. He had the cedar and the grain sack on top. And he was north of the place where we had to go. We went through the field to go to school. That's a shortcut. So when he saw my dad out in the field, he took off and he ran towards him. And we called him back. He said, I'm going to go to Paz. I'm going to go to Paz. And my dad stopped the cedar and he got down. And he said, Billy said, where do you think you're going? I'm going to stay with you. He said, he said, you're supposed to go to school. And he started to cry and he said, get going. So we took him. He was crying, but he never had any trouble after that, the first day.
Mm-hmm.
So he thought he could buy with that. I couldn't tell him that now. He'd say, oh, that's wrong. It wasn't that way, but it was that way.
Tell me about the time in the snowstorm when your dad came to get you from school.
Oh, yeah. We didn't have a telephone in school. We had no way of knowing what was coming. And it was snowing lightly. I can't remember what time of the morning it was, but it was still, maybe it was in the afternoon. But anyway, the teacher said, I think you kids better, you know, start for home. I'm afraid we might have a storm. She should never have let us go. But
it was really bad.
Oh, it was getting so bad. So we got up, we didn't get even halfway home. And we didn't know what direction we were going. It was snowing so hard and blowing that we couldn't tell what direction we were going. And then somebody said, I think Ed said, listen, I hear voices. And we stood still and it was Pa calling our names. We could see him, but he heard him calling our names. We said, that's Pa, sure enough. We were out of line. We were going the right direction. We were too far north. We should have been farther south. And then as he got closer, then we knew where he was. Where we didn't see him until... Oh,
did you keep calling? Did you call to him then?
Oh, yeah. We would say, here, Pa. And so he come towards us and said, you're way out of your way. He said, you're too far south. We couldn't tell. I don't know how he could tell. But anyway, he had a coat for George. George was the youngest one. George and I was four of us. So he had an extra coat for George. Ma told him, she said, that kid doesn't have a heavy enough coat, so take your coat along. So he put the coat on George and he carried him. He was just starting school. So we got home and my mother was so glad to see all were together.
I bet she was home praying.
Oh, yeah, I suppose she was praying. She said, I wondered if I'd ever see you kids again. It was bad. Oh.
Mom, were the teachers mean then? Did they really use those rulers and get people
off? Once in a while we had one teacher, and her name was Lula Moss. And I think she's only taught 1 year. And she wrote, teacher had a board somewhere then. She boarded that Schrader's farm. They lived closest to the schoolhouse, west of the schoolhouse. Maybe a 15, 20 minute walk. They lived that close to school. That's where the teacher boarded. And I'll never forget that day. It was the Schrader's daughter, Geneva. There was two kids. They had two kids in school, Geneva and Floyd. So Floyd sat in seat ahead of me. And I was sat up close to the front too. I can't remember what grade I was in then. But Geneva was, I think she was maybe in a grade higher than I. She was in the sixth or seventh grade. And the teacher came up to her desk and she said, why aren't you working? Geneva, why aren't you working? She said, I can't get this, she said. She said, I thought you'd help me. You can do that, she said. Why aren't you working? You'll never get it. And she said, well, you help me. And Mrs. Moss said, That's not a big problem. You can do it. And Geneva, put her hand away. She had her hand on the desk. Geneva pushed her hand away. Then she started to hit Geneva. She started to hit her and Geneva hit back. She grabbed her blouse. She had on a long sleeve white blouse. She grabbed her blouse and tore it off by the shoulder. And Floyd was sitting in that seat right ahead of me. She put you could put the sweet seat had hinges in it. You could put the hinges up. He put the hinges up and he ducked down and he said, Mama, Mama, Mama.
Oh.
And the teacher and Geneva were fighting. And then when they stopped fighting, she said, you pick up your books and you go home. She boarded at the same house. You pick up your books and go home, she said. And then she started to cry, the teacher. She sat up in her chair and she said, woke up, she said, you kids are all excused. You could have all excused, and we didn't want to go home. I don't think it was noon. So she told Geneva to take her books. Geneva did. Carried her books home, and she had hit her with a ruler. So had a ruler across her desk, hit her so hard she had cuts.
Mm.
They come back to school in the afternoon. That's right. She had to go home. How could she go home and face those people after beating up that kid?
So what happened then?
Well, she came back. Teacher had to help her carry her books back. She came back to school. Charlie Schrader was the dad, and he said, you take her back to school, she's supposed to go to school. So they came back, and she didn't talk. We didn't have any classes. And then she finally excused us, and said she and Geneva went home together. And we often said, what an embarrassment that must have been. And nobody ever heard that. That time, people didn't know every other people's what was going on.
Well, the next time you can tell me about some of the good teachers, okay?
Yeah. This is Helen. This is June 26, 1996. Bertha Mim is going to play us some tunes on her harmonica. Ruthie is here from California, Marianne and Bud. Doris and Ron came home for the fall school reunion in Buffalo Lake. And Mom came down on Sunday, and this is Wednesday, and she's staying here and visiting her heart out. Here's Bertha on the recorder.
In. Here.
When I'm 95, I will have learned to play the harmonica.
Same here.
And then now I'll play, next one I'll play is Wrigley. Yeah, Wrigley.
Okay, whenever you get your breath. Marianne's out cooking, taco salad in the kitchen.
Oh, okay.
Today we went to visit Uncle Bill, who's in a nursing home. He had a stroke and fell and hurt his back, so we went to visit him. And Mom and Bill had a nice visit.
Okay, are you ready, Mom?
I'm ready.
Okay. Okay, are you sort of winded, or do you want to try again?
I'll try to get rid of it.
Okay. Thank you. Oh, that's fine, Mom. That was great. Okay.
Hi, this is Helen. I'm at the Apple Valley Nursing Home. It is June 29th, 1997. I'm visiting with Mom, and she decided she'd like to sing some German songs and maybe even say a prayer that she knows in German for all of you to enjoy. So here's Bertha. Okay, ready? Sing doo doo.
Do do, leg mir in Herzen, do do, leg mir in den, do do, machst mir viel Schmerzen, weiß nicht wie gut ich dir bin. Ja 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 ja, weiß nicht wie gut ich dir bin. So that's it. That's a verse.
Where did you learn that song?
At home, I suppose. My mother.
Your mother?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was great. Mom, remember that prayer that you used to say in German? Do you remember it? Could you say it now?
Well, in Namen Jesu, gehe ich schlafen, ja.
Okay.
I think I could.
Okay, go ahead.
In Namen Jesu, gehe ich schlafen. Das heilige Kreuz sei mir der Waffen. Der heilige Dornenkron sei mir der Kissen. Der heilige Finnefunder sei mir der Decken. Jesus, Maria und Josef wollen mich zur rechten Zeit erwecken. Amen. Bevor ich mich so ruhig lege, ich Hände und Herz zu Gott weg und sage ich Dank von jeder Gab, den ich von dir empfangen habe. Und habe ich beleidigt dich, verzeih mir's Gott, ich bitte dich. Und schließe ich froh die Augen zu und wach den Engel, wenn ich ruhe. That's
that,
all.
That was really good. What did it mean? What did it mean in English? Tell me some of it. When you said Jesu, Mary, and Joseph, what would that mean in English?
They would pray for me.
Pray for you. Okay. And the last prayer that you said, what did that mean?
What does that, what would that sound like?
Oh, something about an angel or whatever? The last one. Something about an angel? That the angel's what?
Wenn ich ruhe.
What does that mean?
When I rest.
When you rest. Okay, what will happen when you rest?
The angel will rest, will wait while I...
Rest?
I think so, while I sing.
Oh, okay. And watch over you?
Watch over, yeah.
Is it about a guardian angel?
Must be.
Okay. How do you remember all that German?
After. Oh, I remember a lot of German. My mother sang German after my mother, my grandmother.
Can you remember any songs she used to sing in German?
Oh, I did. I don't know if I remember right off now.
Mm.
But I always remember.
Do you remember, did you used to say the Hail Mary in German?
Heilige Maria, Mutter Gottes, bitte für uns. Oh, boy, yes.
Bitte für uns. What does that mean?
Pray for us.
Pray for us, okay.
Holy Mary, pray for us.
Oh.
That's what it is. Yeah. Heilige Maria.
Okay, Holy Mary, pray for us.
Yeah.
Now and at the hour.
The hour of our death.
How do you say that in German? Now and at the hour of our death. Do you know? Remember? What did you say when you used to climb out of your high chair and fall to the ground so you could get outside? What did they used to say about that?
They said, Frau, how did you get out of your chair? I said, Patsch, what about?
Oh, I thought it was Bitte für uns or something, but that wasn't it.
No, no, no.
What did you say?
Patsch, what about?
And what does that mean?
They meant, plop, I fell down.
Oh. And what did they say?
Oh, they just laughed. I did. I fell. I slid out of the high chair and slid on the floor, and I crept down to the well.
Because
believe it or not.
Because that's where they were.
That's where they were working.
Oh.
They'd say, Frau, how did you get out of your house? They called me Frau.
Uh-huh.
And I said, Putsch, what the fuck? I think I meant, Putsch, you know, I fell down,
uh-huh.
And I crept.
Oh, okay.
I would have fallen.
Well, you didn't get hurt, evidently.
No,
Well, just like you don't get hurt when you fell now, most of the time.
I did not get hurt.
Okay. Well, that's a wonderful story.
Is it? Oh, yeah. That was a story.
Next time, we'll have you tell some more about your family, okay?
Okay. Maybe I'll think up some of their older ones.
Good. Very good. You think about it, okay?
I will.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
This is Mary Ann. The date is July 5th, 1998. The last selection, the German prayer, was recorded in January or February of 1998 when Mom was 97. She died on June 25th, 1998, and her funeral was June 30th. Doris, Mary Ann, and Bud, Ruth, Jim, and Jamie came from California. Jerome, Helen, and Bill and family were there. Barbara J. and family were there. Rich, Pat, and their family, Maxine and Cheryl, Jim Pakulski and his family were all there.